Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, January 18th. I'm in a good mood and I'm joined yet once again by Mr. Jim Christina. That sound of God is actually Jim Christina.
It is.
We were just talking about his voice, yes. And so Jim is joining me once again. Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
For getting me through the transition here, helping me go through the transition.
Yeah.
And we're still auditioning co-hosts and stuff, so you guys stay tuned. We'll be back to our normal programming, like they say, sometime this year.
Let me put out a plea for you, Sam. If you're a young lady that wants to be on the radio, you're between the ages of 18 and 23.
No, not exactly. Be at least 27. I mean, I can't deal with the young ones anymore, man. It's like, no.
Well, they have no life experience at 18.
Exactly. They mostly talk about their parents. And
sure.
It's like, come on, man. Well, I'm like almost seeing the grave here, and I'm talking to a 20-year-old. So, yeah. Everything's cool. We have a great guest in the studio. He'll be joining us in just a moment. And we're going to cover a couple of things. Jim, tell us a little bit who you are. I mean,
I don't know.
You don't know. People
no,
want to know. They were
no
asking me, who's Jim Christina?
I have a show here in LA Talk Radio on Thursday nights. Actually, tonight at
7
o'clock Pacific. And we are called Writer's Block. And we talk to writers and screenwriters, playwrights, songwriters, anybody who does the written word, we talk to them.
Everybody who writes. Even
and
if they write shit, too.
I'm sorry?
Even if they write shit, you'll talk to them?
If they write shit, that's not up to me to tell them. That's up to them.
You just don't invite them on the show,
well,
right?
Well, they don't get on twice. We don't allow shit writers on our show.
There's some filters after all, folks.
Of course.
And thank you for making the drive, because you obviously have to make it again tonight.
I do.
So you don't know how grateful I am to you. You don't live right down the street.
No.
So that's
actually, but you know what? I hit the 118. I hit Sepulveda. I'm here in like 28 minutes.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. It's so much better doing that in the morning than trying to do the 405 thing.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to do that. That's terrible. And the 405 is a freeway here that we don't like to be on. But we have to. So a few things that I wanted to cover real quick is one thing I think it's pretty concerning is they're saying that most Americans can't cover a $1,000 emergency. In other words, people don't have $1,000 set aside for emergencies in cash. So that's
really?
Yeah. So most people saying, yeah, I'd use a credit card.
Actually, you know what? I think I believe that more than anything.
Right?
Yeah.
Look, many people don't grow up with the awareness of saving money, you know, and sometimes you just don't have any, you know, to save. But they always give you the same tips, you know, save first, then spend. Maybe it works. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, they say
I'm not
pay
a good
yourself
saver.
First.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not a good saver, man, and that's not a good thing, because look at me, folks. I'm as poor as a
church mouse.
Okay, I won't make you cry for me, Argentina, but there you go.
I don't think Argentina gives a shit.
So if
Peru might care. Argentina,
yeah, right?
Care.
Okay, they won't cry for me then. So some of the tips, save first, then spend. Start early. So if you're my age, you're shit out of luck. Separate the money. So remove all temptation and spend your emergency savings. So you want to put it aside and probably forget about it. And then find the best savings account. I don't know. I think under the mattress works best for $1,000.
Well, I think if you have $1,000 in the bank and you have a medical emergency, you're not even a tenth of the way there yet. They're going to look at you and laugh, and you go, where's the other nine?
Right, yeah. Exactly. So Yeah. So, yeah, not a thing to be proud of, but at the same time, people need to start saving because, I mean, come on, $1,000 is not that hard to set aside. And you know what? Between us, it's not enough for an emergency anyway.
No, it's not.
You know, usually you need a lot more, and we run to our credit cards and everything, and that's terrible, I think. But at any rate, so if you can't save money, join the club. Also, Amazon. We were talking about this, them looking for headquarters for the new headquarters,
yes.
Right? So they have a short list of 20 cities. That's a short list. And L.A. is among them, but they narrowed it down from 238 cities.
That's a short list?
That's a short
list. I hate to have seen what their long
list No, was. That was the long list. The short list is 20. No, the short list is 20, and they're saying that, you know, the reason why everybody wants it is it's going to take $5 billion to construct, and will create as many as, Jim, get this, 50,000 high-paying jobs. That's headquarters. It's not like the warehouses that they built. It's the second.
Yeah. Well, you know, so, high-paying to Amazon is a dollar more than Walmart.
Right.
$12 an hour.
Yeah. You think that's what the high-paying jobs
that's
mean?
That's high-paying.
Okay. Well, that depends. I think they're talking about executives and stuff. You know? But, no, you're right. I mean, but the thing is, look, Jim, I mean, you know, you talk about salaries and stuff and wages. At what point do you stop? You know, I mean, the thing is that you got to go by the market, you know, what the market is willing to bear as far as wages, you know, because and people don't understand, you know, like minimum wage. If you raise minimum wage, you're actually hurting the people that you're raising it for. Because,
of course.
Because when the minimum wage rises, then everything else goes up. Now, they're going to pass these costs to the consumer. So then the same person is going to find out they go to Ralph's and suddenly the milk is more expensive and this is more expensive. So it hurts. That's why I'm saying I'm a very big advocate of capitalism, you know, the invisible hand. Let supply and demand determine the prices, you know. And because sometimes we try to help people and we just shoot ourselves in the foot.
Well, I'm an opinionated Italian, as you well know.
Okay.
And my opinion on raising the minimum wage to, like, say, $15 is what they want to do.
Right.
You raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour to employees at McDonald's.
Right.
They're now making $15 an hour, but they're only working 4 hours a week.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they have to come off of it somehow.
Yeah, right.
So you're either going to make more money and work less.
Right.
Or make what you have and work more. It shouldn't affect the price of the product because McDonald's is going to make their money.
Well, but that's the thing. They make the money by passing the cost to the consumer.
Well, that and they also make it by not having to pay insurance premiums for employees because now they're under 32 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's not full time.
Right. Well, yeah, that depends, so but, you know, the thing is this. Look, Jim, I mean, we can sit here and criticize businesses. It does boil down to the bottom line.
Of course it does.
Otherwise, the business disappears.
Sure.
So that's why, you know, so people look for consciousness and stuff like that from businesses, but you know, it's not feasible. You know, it's different interests here. You know, and people pull in different directions. But just remember that if the wages go up, everybody's wages have to go up as well because you're going to go, you gave him a raise, I want a raise too.
Well, sure,
that's what I'm saying. It creates inflation.
Goods and services go up exponentially.
Right. Exactly.
And if you look at Walmart, Walmart's a good example because now they've raised their minimum wage to $11 an hour, which I don't know what it was before, but I'm sure it wasn't $11.
No, I think they raised it by a dollar or something.
But to cover it, they're closing like 50 stores or 60 stores.
Right. But they're saying that some of it, at least, is thanks to the new tax laws, you know, that give a tax break for them, you know. So
bullshit.
I don't know if that's true or not, but
they're
closing because why? I mean, come on, that's the thing. I mean, you get less taxes, you can invest more, you know.
Except do they?
Well, that I don't know.
See.
But in totality, when you look at the economy, that's usually the way it works, you know. Or maybe, so that's what they're hoping.
In a utopia, it works that way.
No.
In this country, we got too many people that make too much money that don't want to give any of it up.
But why would they want to? Would you?
What?
You want to give up your money?
Oh, it depends on how much I had.
Why?
If I had $1,000 in the bank for a medical emergency, I wouldn't care.
Right. So you see, but it can be subjective, though. I mean,
of course it is.
No, well, but that's the thing is that. But you have to make a decision: is it a good thing or is it not a good thing? Does it work? Does it not work?
Well,
you know,
my friend has he's in Bakersfield, and he has a company that he owns, and he said this 2017 was the best year he ever had. And I said, so are you sharing that with your employees? He goes, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'm making more money.
Right.
For the first time in my life,
I'm making
more money.
Right.
But you know, it's not going back to his employees.
Well, but that's his view. It doesn't mean that
it's his business.
Right, right. But the thing is that he doesn't have to, you know. I mean, what are we like about giving people away money? You know, that's not the way the world works.
People are saying
it's like these people don't give money and all this stuff, but you know, would you give any? You know, I'm not talking about you in general, but in general, the people that are saying that, you know, everybody's got their own thing, you know. But the bottom line is you got a business, and I think business people have to be admired because they take a big risk, they create jobs, and they move the economy, you know. So to go and complain about that stuff is, I think, pointless.
Well, I'm not complaining, just, you know.
I just say you are. But at any rate, okay, so that's Amazon and stuff. And then finally, I wanted to bring this up. I guess in one of the DIY Network, did you ever watch that one?
Oh, it used to be, HGN or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know. Home and Garden.
But there's a host with a show called Texas Flip and Move, right? So apparently she asked a participant on the series, she goes, you're not even going to bicker a little bit, Jew us down? So so now the network is apologizing for this. But, you know, the thing is this, it doesn't bother me. I mean, you know, because people are stupid, you know. Yeah. Why focus on these things? It's like, it's funny because to me it's already like, well, of course, you know, of course people would say that because it's the anti-Semitism is in the fucking DNA of humanity in a way. Some people are unscathed, but let me tell you, man, it's one hatred that I can't explain and nobody can. It never goes away. But, yeah, everybody's got their favorite you know, group to beat up on, you know.
You know, they used to bash Italians too.
Yeah, I know. They have, I know. They bash everybody because the thing is, I think people need to feel better than other people by bullying, by racism, you know, stereotypes. But it's, yeah, but I'm sure some people were offended by this, but what can you do? You know, you look at her, she looks like a white redneck, and that's probably where it came from.
Well, I think do what my father always told me to do. You call a bully out, whether it's a racist or a guy.
Right.
Just call them out.
Really?
Chances are they're going to back down.
Yeah. Wow. Cool. All right. Well, enough with serious stuff.
Yeah.
We don't dwell on that too much here.
Let's get into the happy horse shit of this show.
Yes. And it's going to be a funny show at that because we have Mr. John Poveromo in the studio. Welcome to the show, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thank you for joining us. I see you're up and energetic this morning. Are you like that every day?
No,
high level of energy?
No, not
really.
At all. No. I mean, if I'm up, I'm up. You know what I mean? I try to make the best out of it, but I'll crash and burn as soon as this ends.
Really?
Yeah, that's it. I'm up for this and for you guys, and then as soon as I leave this building, I'm sleeping in the car on the highway.
I'm sitting here looking at California early morning bed hair.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I mean, I figured I'd get away with it because it's not TV, but you just outed me. So.
It's like we can sit here and say we're all sitting here
naked,
but
exactly.
We're not, and you
do. I have fantastic hair, so I don't know what you're talking about.
You have a lot of it, I'll tell you.
I do have a lot of it. Yeah,
thick, curly hair, and not really curly, but thick.
I'm Italian.
Yeah, yeah. You see, my hair used to look like that too. Not now, not so much. But enjoy your youth while you have it.
I will.
No, I mean, I can see how your hair would give you any trouble, but I can see how when it gets longer and curly, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't go where you want it to go.
I usually just do this for height, so it doesn't really bother me.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Adds another 2 inches to
you. I don't really care. As long as it keeps getting taller, it's fine. Yeah.
When you're up against a thing in the police department and they're taking your picture for booking,
that way they can't tell.
You're 2 inches higher.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
Right, they go,
I see, because I'm Italian, I'm going to be in jail, right? Is that your angle? We were just talking about
name
this,
four that aren't.
There's a couple babies that were born today, Italian, Maimonides Hospital, Brooklyn. Come on.
So, John, I understand you're visiting. You don't live here, right? Mm-hmm. Where do you live?
I live in New Jersey.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that where you grew up?
Tom's River, New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Tom's River.
Yeah, it's a nice town, unless you've been to other towns.
Yeah, right.
I've read about Tom's River. I've never been.
Really?
There. Yeah. They had a murder or something like there the first part of the century.
Did we?
Yeah. No, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was before my time. I was going to say, you can't pin that on me. This is the Italian thing coming back again.
I don't think the Italians there.
Oh, the town you came from.
I know. By the end of the show, we'll have two Italians here fighting each other like crazy.
Well, they had Tom's River, yeah, they have a sign that says, you know, welcome to Tom's River, no Italians.
Right.
We were on the, we had Sandy hit in that area and stuff like that. That's the only reason why people know where Tom's River is.
Oh, wow. Were you there at the time?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
My parents lost their house.
Like? Really?
Yeah. Oh, no way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was pretty bad, yeah. Well, I was living in an apartment in like 15 minutes away, the next town over, and my parents lost their house. We were without power for like 2-3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, they were looted. It was crazy.
Did they move in with you?
They moved into the complex. I got them an apartment in the complex. I talked like on a month-to-month
instead of but no power still.
No, we had power by the time they moved in, but they were in a hotel in the beginning.
Oh.
They were in a hotel for the longest time, and then the hotel was giving them trouble. They were giving all Sandy victims trouble. You know?
Really?
Yeah, it was a rough, you know, no one was...
They didn't want bunches of people like that descending on them.
FEMA was supposed to be paying their hotel rooms.
FEMA was supposed to be paying that. But even if you're a hotel owner, you know what I mean? Have a you know, the decency to, you know, give people in trouble something.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. I get it. You're a business and whatever like that, but you're not, you know, the Hilton.
No, at times like that, yeah. At times like that, you got to pitch in and stuff.
Exactly.
That's for sure. John Poveromo, so you're a comedian, a comic. You also brought a book with you.
We did.
I did.
So you write books too.
It's a I drew a collection of cartoons over the last year and a half.
Uh-huh.
Drawings from a nobody.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what I titled it.
That's pretty humble.
And that's John, a nobody.
Yeah.
Brooklyn born in New Jersey.
Let's hope that changes, John.
Yeah.
When did you embark on your path in comedy and everything?
I've been doing comedy for 13 years. So I started when I was like 19, 20. And
really?
Then, and then just hitting the clubs in New York
and
stuff.
That's a long time for a comic to last on real life, though, isn't it?
Yeah. To start, you mean?
Yeah. Well, 13 years. In the circuit.
I know it is. It's a long time. Yeah, I know most people don't last. You know, when
and
they
you started young too, right?
I did. Yeah. I wanted to start young. You know what I mean? I went to college for about a year, and then started doing stand up in the city, and then never went back. And just I was like, if I invest in this, you know, it'll be worth it to me.
Sure.
As opposed to winding up in like ridiculous amounts of debt.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But so, what were you going to school for before you decided?
Just quit? English, poli sci, like that kind of
stuff. Yeah. So you weren't interested in business or anything like that.
No, I can't stand business.
Right. So you're a creative type.
I'm sure my manager doesn't want to hear me talking about
wrong
that.
Show
but
you came
I mean,
on.
That's not my side. I know it's not the side.
That's why he's your manager and you're the talent.
Exactly.
You know, you're a creative type.
I don't understand. Not that I don't understand it, but I don't. You know, there's a lot of stuff. You guys were talking about the $15 minimum wage and all that other stuff, and I. You know, I understand the $15 thing. You know, I'm all for it. Yeah. Well, McDonald's is actually doing well. One of the CEOs came out and said now they did that employee, you know, everything from, you know, the employee's morale and better service and customer, you know, complaints went down and stuff like that. So you pay people to work, man. They actually want to work.
Right.
You know,
the question is, will they want to work more if you give them another couple dollars an hour?
Absolutely.
I don't know. You know, it depends.
Well, so back in the day, this is a good analogy for this kind of stuff. So I don't know exactly when back in the day, but they used to have cats. On ships, you know what I mean, to get rid of the mice.
Get rid of
the mice.
Okay, right.
Initially, what they used to do with the cats is they used to starve them because they figured it'd make them better hunters.
Right.
But the cats weren't doing their jobs, and then they fed the cats, and the cats hunted because the cats naturally want to hunt, and they didn't gain anything by depriving them
food.
Right. So you know, people want to work. Just make sure the conditions are good to work. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, you're always,
no, absolutely. I can see that, but we'll see. In the long run, you know, McDonald's will have to sit. And look at their bottom line and ask, do we want to put the robots in or do we want to keep the
employees
in?
They already have them.
In?
A lot of the McDonald's have these kiosks now where you don't have to even talk to an employee.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know,
but they still have people. I mean, every time I go into a ShopRite or a Target now that has one of those kiosks, there's some idiot standing by it making sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always breaking down. And it's always somebody with a thing. You know, I'm just saying, there's somebody standing by the robot to make sure that it's okay or helping an elderly person. So you always need humans to do.
Well, maybe. But, you know, I mean, look at the Amazon grocery stores now that they're Coming up with where you don't have to stand in line and pay. Mm-hmm. You just kind of take the stuff off the shelf.
That's called stealing. I've done it.
No.
I've also taken things it off the shelf in my youth.
Yeah. No, it pretty much scans everything you put in the basket probably or something, and then you just walk out, and it already puts it on your card.
That's awesome. But yeah. See, that's a problem, though.
They're looking for that, and what I'm saying is, yeah, we have to have more productivity, I think. You know, people have to produce more, and that's how businesses are going to, like, grow, and then wages need to grow naturally. I just don't believe the government should interfere, you know, with a free market. But what do you think?
Well, I mean,
how do you see it?
What was it? I think it's the price of, like, an apartment or something like that to pay for has only gone up, but people's salaries hasn't in the last 30 years. So how are you supposed to live? You know what I mean? Like, my friend, my generation is completely screwed.
Right.
You know, in terms of, but I know people, like, there's problems with my generation too, and there's problems with every generation. But for the most part, financially, we're fucked. You know what I mean? There's no other way around it, because, you know, you could work.
Right.
You know, my parents could, and their parents especially, could work for a summer and pay off college. Mine can't.
Right.
And
right.
That's because, you know, people don't give a shit.
Well, but that depends. I mean, that depends if people give a shit or not. But no, I agree with you. And look, I was reading about universities, how they, like, they could do away with all the tuition and everything, but they just raised it by so much that it's grown like thousands of percentage points over like decades, you know, where inflation only, you know, a total of 20%
or something. It's because it's become a business.
Yeah. I know. Some things are way too expensive, and I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to... Well, that's political stuff. Fuck it, you know.
I can talk about anything. So what do you guys want to talk about?
I know.
Oh, I'm just sitting here.
I got jokes too.
Yeah,
I'm just sitting here filling in for a woman.
Yeah, no, I'm just burnt for my last co-host who would like
doing a great job.
Fucking call me ignorant when we're talking about politics, man.
Oh no, what happened?
Yeah,
oh,
no. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I had a co-host.
And she actually is a comedian.
She's a comedian, and she's but she was very rebellious and on the left, so she hated everything that I said and everything about me, probably. But whatever, you know. So, John Poveromo, you wrote a book called Drawings from a Book Nobody.
Yes.
How did that start? I mean, were you just doodling and stuff? And then
I've always been able to draw, like, drawing, like, self-taught since I was in, like, third grade or whatever. And
great.
Then, thank you. Yeah, and this is just, you know, between gigs and hotel rooms on the road and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, I would always draw cartoons and doodle, and some of them are politically charged, and some of them are just absurd. And I decided to just post them on social media because, you know, it's spare time. But, you know, it's only so much you can do in a hotel by yourself. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Then you can sell.
Whether you have X-rated channel or not.
Yeah, exactly. you know.
You have some funny stuff here.
Thank you. Very cool.
So you drew the stuff too, colored everything?
Everything is in there.
Wow, you're very talented.
Thank you very much.
That's awesome.
And then I wound up doing an art gallery. Somebody saw my stuff on my website. And asked me to do that, and then from there it went from there to a book.
Yeah,
and I've been just pumping it out, and you know,
good for you.
Thank you.
So, where can people find it? I see you have a website, right?
Yes.
So, give the website out.
Oh, it's your cell. I thought we had a caller. I was like, hey, I didn't even know there was that kind of show.
Where people call on your cell phone.
I was like, hey, somebody's calling in. That's great.
Yeah.
The book is on my website right now. You can pre-order it there.
And what's the website?
It's johnpoveromo.net.
Okay. So you guys can go there, check it out. Click to pre-order. So it's not out yet?
It's you can click the pre-order there, yeah.
Okay, awesome. And so let's talk a little bit about your comedy and stuff. How did you become drawn into it? I mean, is this something conscious that you finally did?
It's always been in the back of my head, man. I just went to one of my elementary school teachers retired recently and went to go see her, and she had a yearbook that we made, like, back in the day, and she'd saved all that stuff from the kids or whatever. I went to a small elementary school. Uh-huh. And she had showing me mine, and it was like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it was sixth grade, and I just put comedian/cartoonist.
Really?
That was the only two things. Yeah, and then from then on, like, I'd always been in the back of my head.
Wow, yeah. How cool is that? You see, so you pursue stuff that you love, and mm-hmm. it starts like a hobby or something you like, and that's what you do. And I think that's when you are more likely to succeed than if you try to put yourself into a business environment that you hate.
Yes.
And try to produce that way, you know?
Yeah, I've done it.
And that's the thing, yeah. You know, I mean, I mean, meet a lot of creative people here, and it's usually the same story. You know, you can't put them in a box, you know? It's like, you know, not everybody can be a lawyer and a doctor, you know?
Oh, God, yeah. I'm sure we'd like to. The money's great.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. What kind of a doctor would you be?
Exactly. Nobody.
A really shitty gynecologist.
Yeah, exactly.
What was growing up for you? Do you have siblings?
Mm-mm.
You're the only child. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's unusual for an Italian family.
I know, yeah. I was the only child. And then I had a large Italian family. Cousins on top of cousins.
Right. You know. But do you feel as an only child, were expectations really high from you?
No.
Do you feel? No, huh?
They
let you get away with anything,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm right exactly as mediocre as I thought I'd be.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm just skimming that
my
line.
My family pretty much had that expectation.
That's why I made the book. I was like, how else can I disappoint my family by not making any money?
Okay.
There you go. Without the artists, this world would be so boring. You know what I'm saying?
Hey.
So we need that. And it's not always about the money. You know, I mean, if you can carry yourself through life somehow and you're happy. I think the important thing is to want to wake up and get up in the morning, you know?
Yeah.
It's because if you don't, then for many years, well, let me tell you.
Are you doing it wrong, Jim?
No, you know what?
I did.
I get up usually about 3 o'clock in the morning because
I know you're
crazy. I did it for 100 years.
Yeah.
And this morning I woke up and it was like 6:02. I said, holy crap, what happened? And I looked down and my dog has a crate right next to my bed and she was snoring. I could sneak out of here.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, but you know, I mean, the thing is, look, for many years I've worked 9 to 5s and I hated it, you know, but I thought, well, this is work. You're not supposed to enjoy it. You know, just go and do it. And I did it like a robot until I realized, man, I don't want to get up in the morning. What kind of a thing is this?
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to do anything. So that's why I salute people like you that actually do something about it, you know, and you live life to your fullest, you know, so you don't make a lot of money. And besides, you're young, you'll still figure out how. And besides, you know, the book may catch on, your career and everything. So you do stand-up mostly in comedy?
I do.
Do you
write
anything for shows?
I was writing for a while, for about 3.5 years. I wrote for a bunch of different shows and a bunch of different comedians and stuff like that, like VH1 when they had their Best Of series.
Oh.
So I did the jokes for those kind of shows and some political shows and sports shows. And yeah, I've been dabbling in a little
bit. So, you know, you do understand that everybody that just listened to this show understands now fully that comedians aren't that funny without other writers.
Oh, you get to a certain point where you're busy enough, man. If you have people writing for you, that's fantastic.
Yeah, right.
Then they got to be a good writer.
You're only exactly.
Oh, very interesting, man.
Yeah.
So so you write for other people as well, I'm sure you get credit for that too. So but stand up is hard, right? I mean, is it easy for you?
It becomes something that you get. Yeah, I mean, you know, your job is eventually to make it look easy,
right?
But it is hard. There's certain aspects of it that still remain hard as you keep going. You know, it's, you know, lonely. You know, you're driving on the road. Like usually, the commute to the gigs is the worst part.
Really?
And then getting on stage, you remember why you're doing it.
Yeah, right.
But like, you know, that 5 or 6 hours of the fucking club.
Yeah, right.
You're like, geez. Yeah. You know, if there's traffic, that's when I lose it. I could drive for hours. When I moved out here, I drove cross country twice.
Really?
Yeah. I love to drive.
Yeah, me too. As long as I'm not in traffic, I'm fine.
Wow.
Yeah, but there's just aspects of it that are hard. When I first started out, I was like, it was every other show. It was like a hit and miss.
Yeah, yeah. But you go there and you obviously get to try new stuff and new things.
Yeah.
And it also, I think, gives you that freedom to really express yourself and connect with people.
Yeah,
right?
No.
I mean, do you write about things that happened to you? What kind of a comedy do you
yeah do? I write about stuff that happens to me. I'm my comedy is very conversational, so I talk about things that happen to me, you know, in life and dating, on the road, and like I like to talk to the audience and stuff and kind of fly off the cuff. And
but you're putting yourself out there, right?
I mean,
it can't be easy, you know, like people are saying, well, like for example, I feel like it would be very hard for me to do stand-up. I'm good at talking in front of people. I'm good on the radio. But if I had to be under those scrutinizing eyes, waiting for me to make them laugh,
yeah,
right? I would lose it.
I think Seinfeld said you're judged every 12 seconds as a comedian.
Right, at least, you know.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with when you're standing up on a stage, you're by yourself.
Yeah.
And your whole life is open at that point. You know,
you're exposed, man. I mean, people are going
to
boo or heckle you and forget about it, you know.
And then you always got some big Italian, I hesitate to say fat because they'll come and get me. Some big fat Italian guy sitting out there goes, "Saw you're a comedian. Make me laugh."
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Make me laugh.
Exactly. Yeah, no, you get people like that all the time. I never understand those people that come to shows and they sit there with their arms crossed and they're like,
they go to a comedy club and then they sit there and they frown.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I get it. Your wife made you come, but can you just fucking.
Even the worst comedian has a good joke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sometimes two.
Sometimes two.
Yeah.
So what are some of the clubs? I mean, do you get to go into the bigger clubs in New York and stuff?
Yeah, no. I've been at Caroline's Gotham, Comedy Club Live. Yeah, I've been all the stand-up New York and stuff. And, and then I'm
on
the road a lot.
So you're relatively known in the circuit now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
We have Sheena here on the station that does stand-up comedy.
No, not really. Does she?
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, she's going to be at the,
The Improv.
Big comedy at the Improv.
Right. She always does that, but it's not comedy. She does...
Well, she talks about
she's just celebrations of show. Yeah, but no, I mean, Sheena's funny, but I don't know her as a stand-up. Mm. But Rachel was the previous co-host.
Yeah,
Rachel.
And so I went...
Wolfson.
Yeah, Rachel Wolfson. Yeah, he wouldn't know her. She's starting. She's only been doing this for a year or two, I think she said. But yeah, so she's still working at
it.
Found
that a lot in LA.
Yeah. So you came here to visit us. How long are you staying?
I'm staying until the end of February, and then I got to go back out to Michigan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to do Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, I think, on the 1st, March 1st. And then the Holly Hotel sometime after that.
Make them pay you a lot to go to Michigan. Remember.
Oh, yeah. In March, I don't think I'm going to make it out of there.
Oh, no. Well, no, you won't, because everything will be frozen.
I know, exactly. That's what people
Having
telling
been
me.
There in March, it is cold.
And it's like an idiot. Yeah. I didn't pack anything. I'm going from here to Michigan, and I literally have this leather jacket.
And the T-shirt.
And the T-shirt, and that's it.
Buy a hoodie while you're here. They're really cheap.
Okay, great. Yeah, exactly. I'll pop in. Dude, I was in... I was killing time. I had a meeting with NBC the other day, not to brag. But I was killing time in Fashion City, L.A., you know, in the meantime. Oh, no, it was in Beverly Hills, something else. But, I was in Beverly
Fashion
Hills.
Center.
Fashion Center. Yeah. That's what it is, Fashion Center. In Beverly Hills, and I have never felt like I was going to be less likely to be mugged than when I was walking.
Oh, I know, huh?
Like nobody wanted my shit.
Yeah, oh, right.
Yeah. Like when I got there, they were actually handing me money so that people would have something to take from me later. They're like, "Here's a few hundred.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're looking impoverished here.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me give you some money.
Yeah,
yeah. Like
have you met my friend Kim?
Yeah, exactly. And it's weird too because they also like you know those dudes who like everyone was like really good looking. You know what I mean? Like, when you're walking around there, they had nice suits.
I know.
And there were those dudes who were, like, just, like, thin, and they fit perfectly in a suit. But it's one of those things where, like, they just worked really hard to get in the pant, like, the waistline, but their face was still fat. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on there?
Right.
Like, you're swollen everywhere else. But
that's where you go down Rodeo Drive, and every of the cars a Bentley.
Yeah.
Parked at an angle on the street.
Yeah. Everybody was moving. They were having their coffee, and... You know, they had no time for my bullshit, man.
Nah, that's Starbucks every 12 doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I went to a coffee bean. The one behind me was incensed that it wasn't a Starbucks.
Really?
She was like, she literally got to the front of the line and she was like, "I usually go to the Starbucks, so I don't know how to order here." I'm like, "The fuck out of line then."
Yeah, wow.
See,
like, why would you
Coffee, cup, give me
one.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, God. I guess you have to learn how to order coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was like,
yeah,
what
so,
is this?
I mean, you'd expect shit like this here, you know, because this is when you get rich people and you get. Unlimited amount of money, you know, you get that what they call conspicuous consumption, you know, it's like, what the fuck, you know, it's like, you know, they spend money on things that don't make sense, and it changes them too, you know, I mean, but just imagine, you look at some of these mansions here, like $15, $20 million mansions.
$15, $20 mansions, I was like, I will take three.
$180 million mansion.
Yeah.
Right, I'm just being kind of like.
You're being conservative.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, something on the Hollywood Hills or something. You're there and you go, my God, you know, how can you live any better than this, you know? And you ask yourself, where the hell did all this money come from? You know, where do you think people get all this money? I mean, I understand it's Hollywood. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, in this industry, there's a lot of money. Even the lawyers that work for Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so everybody around it, you know. But still...
None of it trickles down.
Yeah, you know. And,
even if it's on a hill.
Yeah. But, I mean, you see some of these houses and you go, how can a person make that kind of money? And I can't even come close. You know, something's fucking wrong here.
Well, you weren't at the right place at the right time.
Right. Or I'm in a different journey this lifetime. Right.
Well, but that's okay.
Right, exactly.
Because you are you.
I'm me, exactly. Yeah. I'm not going for the money, and I don't know that I'd want to.
And now that John has been on the show,
yes.
When he makes his billion, he can share.
Yeah, I'll come back. Yeah, I'll give you guys all new money.
Bring us all a check. Actually, he'll bring us another cheap fucking book.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
And his Rolls Royce or his Bentley.
Yeah, right.
Wearing his $6,000
I'm not even
going to
get you the
suit.
Book. I'll just get you the PDF at that point. I'm not wasting paper. There you kidding go. Me?
There you go. Let it trickle down. Trickle down your leg.
But, yeah, I was up in the hills, man. I was looking at those mansions over there, and it was fucking ridiculous.
Oh,
I
couldn't
even, you know. Yeah. It's endless, and it just gets bigger. They get bigger as you go
on. The higher you go,
But just imagine if you had that kind of money. Wouldn't you feel like better than other people? Don't you think you'd feel powerful?
No. I don't think so. No? I think it depends on where you come from, man, or whatever it is. Right. I always want to just make enough to just eat food, live somewhere, and be able to do, like, go.
No,
like,
I understand that. But if you had that kind of money, do you think it would change you?
No.
No.
I would just make sure the people in my life were taken care of, and then, you know, and that was it, and see what else I could do with it, you know?
Yeah.
I would make sure I had enough to sustain whatever life. Like, I don't even think I would get a mansion. Yeah. I mean, if you got that kind of money, just a nice apartment somewhere, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Taken care of it, and it's already paid for. Why would you want 50 rooms? What the fuck am I going to do with 50 rooms?
Well, that's the thing.
Myself,
is that
just travel the world at that point.
Or unless
point,
I'm having people, unless I'm having a bunch of people stay there. You know what I mean? Like, it's got
to
be one
but
of those.
But it's to impress. Yeah, obviously, to have parties so people will see all the shit you have, right?
Yeah. And also, at a certain point, if they're throwing that much money at you, like, what are you going to do with it?
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's at a certain, you know, like, there's a bunch of people who have that kind of money, you know, in Hollywood and stuff like that, who are very, like, you know, philanthropic and stuff, and that's great. Some people you don't even hear about. No, they are. I mean, you know, they hand out, you know, like, you know, when Robin Williams passed away, man, like, he found out what was in his rider. You know, every people they had to enlist, like, or employ 20 homeless people and all the stuff that he donated to and whatever. You know, there's people doing stuff with it. So,
yeah.
You know, and I always find that comes from comedians who make it, or to a certain point, or, like, you know, stuff like that. It's not coming from politicians, that's for shit sure.
It just comes from the people who start at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they know what it's like.
And they don't forget the bottom.
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know what? One fell swoop, you can be right at the bottom again.
That's it.
People don't realize how quick any of that. For anybody, though.
Yeah.
You know, you could be managing a bookstore and still wind up at the bottom. You know, people don't realize that kind of shit.
Right, exactly. And especially today, where there's so much competition and, you know, so much of everything, you know, it's like everybody's replaceable. Everybody's, like, you know, can be... you know, I don't know. I mean, it's just like today, it's not the way it was when people could really stand out. You know, today you get lost in the crowd, sort of, you know, and you got to rise up.
Lost in the crowd. Unless you're sitting there with, you know, rhinestones on your forehead, you are lost in the crowd.
Right. So you have to work extra hard.
Oh, yeah.
Now, did you find it difficult breaking in? Like, would other more experienced comedians look down on you or discourage you or anything like that?
No,
because,
actually.
Really, that's very interesting because here in L.A., they say the stand-up comic is the most cruel, ruthless, cutthroat thing ever.
No, we got it.
That's what I hear from comedians here.
Yeah. It depends.
People steal jokes.
I mean, there's that shit that goes on too. But I had a relatively good experience. I mean, you know, you meet assholes along the way and stuff. But I had a group of guys and whatever that was around me that were pretty cool. That started, like, way, you know, they've been in the business for way longer than I was, and they were nice to me. And, you know, like I said, you meet a couple assholes here and there. And it's mostly, I'll tell you who they are, it's mostly people who own the businesses, the gatekeepers, people who own the doors and shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, they act like they built the fucking building that they're working in, and I'm like, you could be replaced in a set. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's, you know, and it's that kind of shit. It's that kind of arrogance where they don't have it. But, you know, comics, for the most part, you know, I feel like if you're nice and you look out for each other, you know, I've got a good group
that's
of comedian
good for
friends
you.
And stuff.
You got to work in harmony, you know. I mean, otherwise, it's like if everybody pulls in different directions, nothing ever happens, you know. And and why not help other people that are younger, you know? Because many people probably did have their own mentors and stuff. You know, why not mentor somebody else?
I feel like if you're in this business for a long time, you know, at a certain point, if you're not cultivating talent, I don't know what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, everybody, if you're in the arts, I think it's like at a certain point it becomes your obligation
Absolutely.
To bring in new artists.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's guys I know who wouldn't and are only looking out for themselves, but it's not as many as you'd think.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all kind of, like, if a door opens for one of us, it usually means, you know, there's another door open for another. You know what I mean? They'll leave the door open.
Right.
You know, I think there's somebody, really, I don't remember who said it, but somebody said you always send the elevator back down.
Yeah. I actually had an experience, golly, back in the early 80s. With Jerry Jeff Walker. He's a musician. He did Mr. Bojangles and a lot of other songs. And he was playing at a tavern in Seattle, at the Aquarius Tavern, north of Seattle. And that's where Heart started. We went to go listen to his show. And my friend Chuck Cuban happened to have met him a year before. And so after the show, we all sat on the stage with Jerry Jeff Walker and played guitars and drank beer. And he was the nicest guy. Taught us music, taught us some of his songs. Showed us some of the stuff that he used to do. And the guy was just, I mean, phenomenal. And that's kind of paying it back.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, just bringing up artists that you don't know these kids from Adam. Oh, yeah. I know the kid was 33. But still, you don't know them from Adam. And yet you're here drinking beer with them.
Yeah.
And a little bit of Jack Daniels. Well, a lot of Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
and playing guitars and doing songs.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah, that's the kind of experience I think I've had most of the time. Like, people that have opened for that are pretty big or whatever are really just very nice, down-to-earth, hang out and stuff.
Well, I think that's like East Coast stuff, don't you think?
I think so,
people are a lot more shallow here. You know, they don't do this shit.
I'm telling you,
I talk to so many comedians, and it's always the same. It's always like, God,
there's
it's
a
so
lot
competitive.
Of guys who are, there's a lot of guys though who are young and want to make it immediately, though. You know what I mean? I still see comics that get on stage now. Like I said, I've been doing it for 13 years, but I'll see a comic who's in it for like, you know, six months to a year. And they get on stage and their persona is that they're exhausted by doing it already. And I'm like, you know what? If that's the case, then fucking get out now.
Yeah, exactly.
Now. Yeah.
You still got a long ways
because
to go.
Because they see guys who do it, who've been in it for years, who that's their kind of, you know, whatever, and they've got that kind of swagger
that's
and attitude.
True. That's
if you're
what
young
it is.
And you're starting it and you're only in the business for about a year, man, fucking enjoy it.
Right. Like, exactly. To, you know. And that's what I experienced here, with people.
Well, L.A. seems to me like it's the community, especially in the arts. It could be acting or comedians or musicians. Everything's like a gimme.
Yeah.
It's gimme, gimme, gimme.
Right.
And I'm going to keep it. Well, you know, I'm not going to share with you. Yeah. It's mine.
And I feel like stand-up out in L.A. isn't necessarily like a... when you're on the East Coast, you know, there's like, you won't just stay in New York. You know, you'll do road, like most people do the road. So it's like, you'll hit up Connecticut, Pennsylvania, you know, Washington, D.C., Boston. You know, you get to go to those areas. When you're out in California, you're not driving to Oregon.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And whatever, like, you're not going out, you know, it's here and you can do a lot of small, you can do the clubs out here and then you can do a bunch of, like, there's plenty of stage time.
Right.
But for the most part, it's like actors who want to perfect a little bit of spontaneity and they're, you know, and then when they're going on stage. Because when I first got here, I was shocked.
Really?
Like, I went on to go at one of the clubs that somebody got me into, and they were like introducing these people and they had these list of credits and then they'd fucking bomb.
Really?
And I was like, oh, what happened?
They're like,
I've only been doing stand-up for like 2 months. And I'm like, the fuck? Like, but they've been acting for so long, you know what I mean? So it just threw me a little bit because I'm like, holy shit, you know? I'm like, I got jokes, man. What's going on?
Right.
It's the only thing. It's a little weird, but that's about it. You know, I understand. This is more writing TV and stuff like that when I'm out here. And then
The question. You're meeting with NBC.
Yeah.
And CBS?
NBC, CBS, ABC this Friday, Comedy Central today. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, I've had prior
Quite
meetings with them before, too. And, that was my fourth meeting with NBC, and it went really well.
Congratulations!
Thank you. Yeah,
that's
and CBS
cool,
was great. They sent my book over to Simon & Schuster, so hopefully that gets picked up.
Wow.
Simon & Schuster now belongs to CBS.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Hopefully, wink, wink.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not signed with anybody yet, so we'll see. But I'm going out there, and I've got some sketches and pilots I wrote and stuff like that to push and. A couple other ideas I've got, you know. I've got a lot of irons in the fire.
That's good.
I've never used that expression seriously before, but that's the only one I could come up with right now. But yeah, that's, you know,
that's
I'm
nice,
hustling.
Man. Yeah. Got a lot of balls in the air.
Well, yesterday we had a couple on here that their short is up for an Academy Award.
Get the hell out. What is
it? It's called Lost Face.
Right.
Okay.
They're on the short list. I mean, the real short list.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday they know whether they're on the last five.
Wow. Is it one of those things that gets announced at the Academy Awards? Or is it the one before?
No, you'll know on Tuesday whether
it's
made
a short film. It may be announced. I don't know. Maybe not. But
cool.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. But at any rate, so you've been performing around town too? Or
yeah, I did Flappers when I got out here.
You did?
Yeah, right when I got out here. I think it was the 10th I did.
Yeah,
it.
What did you think? Was it good?
Oh, it was great. I love that club.
Really?
If I had to pick a home club, I mean, for out here, it was when I was always at Flappers.
Really? So you're saying that the clubs out here pay more than $5 in a drink?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
It depends who you
are.
Take your $5 gin and tonic and get the hell out.
Let's not get crazy. No, they're very generous at the stage time when I'm out here and stuff, and I'm always in the main room and having a good time at Flappers. And then I'm doing the Camino Real Playhouse.
Yeah, that's what you were saying earlier.
And that's on the 11th. That's on the 10th, and then that's a Saturday.
Right.
So February 10th, I'm at Camino Real Playhouse in San Juan Capistrano.
Right.
And then the 11th, I'm back at Flappers again.
Oh, wow. Very cool. San Juan Capistrano. Where is that?
Down south. North of San Diego County.
Oh, okay. It is. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, not too
I've heard so much about it, I've never been.
Yeah. Well, that's where Nixon's Western White House used to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Capistrano.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where the Swallows always go.
Yeah, I know. I remember the Warner Brothers.
Was he from San Clemente?
Well, they're right next to each other.
Right, so, right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
My cousins live in San Clemente. It's fucking beautiful.
Yeah, right,
gorgeous. Right by the pier. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That beach. I grew up down in Del Mar.
Oh, you did?
Okay. And I was rerunning the beach. And it was
amazing.
Just I had neighbors like Jimmy Durante and... what's
Jesus.
His name? Desi Arnaz.
You back then?
Yeah.
Wow, man, that's awesome.
Well, I'm old.
No.
Those guys were still alive then.
That was like what 1902? I don't know.
Yeah, no, 03.
No, 03. Yeah. Okay, all right. I knew it was give or take a year. No, but that's awesome, man. I'd heard some history about San Clemente last time I was down there, so I know a lot of famous people. Frank Sinatra.
Sinatra lived in San. Well, he had a house.
He had a house there. Yeah. Okay.
He mostly lived out in Palm Springs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Well, talking about older days, I wanted to bring this up totally unrelated, but are you guys planning to see the movie The Darkest Hour? Have you heard of it?
I heard
about
of it.
Churchill.
Oh,
with Gary
that's
Oldman.
Gary Oldman, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't wait to see it, and I'll tell you why, because I believe strongly that Churchill was the most important human being of the 20th century. And the reason I'm saying that is because had he not done what he did and been there, today we could still be under Nazi rule. Mm-hmm. And, or at least Europe would, or I don't know what would be. But it's only thanks to him. I mean, Britain was ready to give up already, you know, after being bombed for 3 years and stuff like that. They were ready to give everything away. And then Churchill came in and saved the day. You know? And so I'm dying to see that. You know, I mean, don't expect like World War II action scenes. I don't think that's what it's about. It's about what happened behind the scenes and stuff. You know?
Right. So, it's about his decisions and his politics.
Right.
Yeah, he's amazing. And Gary Oldman is like, Gary Oldman's one of those actors that like, he looks different in every movie. Every movie.
You don't know what he really looks like.
Sometimes I see a movie and I'm like, is that fucking Gary Oldman? I'm like, yeah, he's playing the dog. It's amazing.
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah.
And when he turned around and Jonathan Harker had cut himself shaving, and Gary Oldman turned around and went, oh my God. It's just
funny.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. So, John, tell people where they can find out more about you, the book, dates.
JohnPoveromo.net is my website. So, JohnPoveromo.net. And then Instagram is the same. It's just my name, Twitter. I'm on all the social media. So, follow me. And I usually use Instagram a lot.
Cool.
Instagram. Okay.
Yeah.
And are you single? If the ladies.
Oh yeah, I'm single.
He's single, guys. Let me tell you, man. One handsome guy, funny. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course, you're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Much continued success to you.
You guys too. Yeah. I hope you get another co-host. And,
yeah, me too.
Thank you.
You're getting exhausted.
Sam, I love coming in here and doing your show with him because it's fun.
You just don't like the way he makes you dress in that bikini.
No, I don't like the bikini.
No. You didn't have to give that away.
I'm sorry. He said something about my hair. I had to take a shot. You know, I got to reveal what he's wearing.
Well, I mean, I got to be back here tonight at 7:00.
That's right. That's
right.
Yeah. So. And I'm gonna check out the book. It looks really funny and stuff. And this is also part, like things that come to your mind,
right? Yeah, I know. It's all jokes and some current event stuff and just some absurd bullshit.
That's awesome, man. So if you guys like cartoons, get the book Drawing from a Nobody. And there you go. Jim, thank you so much for joining.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.